In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe at times, brothers and sisters, it is sadly misconstrued that the life of holiness, the life of sanctity, is something that is given only to a few. And when it is indeed given to them, it is given to them capriciously. We certainly believe in the lives of the saints. We seek to emulate them to the best of our abilities, but at times we almost in the exact same moment excuse ourselves from the diligence that is required for the very holiness that we seek to emulate, believing that somehow the holy men and women who have gone before us have access to realities or to graces or to knowledge that somehow has remained hidden from us. If I had what they had, if I knew what they knew, if I had access to what it is that they did, then I too would be able to be holy. This is the lie that Satan whispers into our ears over and over again, that we cannot achieve this because it is something capricious that God bestows indiscriminately upon his people. But of course, nothing is further from the truth. This is a lie told to keep us from seeking that holiness, striving for it, at times easily letting ourselves off the hook in order to be able to continue to live as we want instead of living as we know we ought to live. The beauty of celebrating all the saints, but especially our patron today, St. Louis, is precisely because his life reveals to us not a secret reality of knowledge or an abundance of graces bestowed only upon him, but rather a man who lived by the wisdom of God, governed himself accordingly, and in so doing achieved holiness. We know that he was certainly king, he was soldier, he was a philanthropist, he was a man of justice, he was a crusader. He was a husband. He was a father. But above all those things, or maybe binding and holding all of those realities together, was that he was first, last, always a son, a child of God. And everything he did in his life emanated from that primary, central relationship. The wisdom that governed his life is the wisdom that is accessible to each of us. It isn't something that is hidden or unknown. And again, his life reveals that to us, especially as we are very familiar, his exhortation to his own son, the spiritual advice he gave toward the end of his life as to how his son should rule as he himself had ruled. It begins and ends with God. It involves the virtue of humility and perseverance. It is about a faith that is steadfast, never wavers, even and maybe most especially in the face of adversity. And it's a tenacious holding fast to that baptismal dignity when he became a child, a son of God. And everything he did was in order to hold on to that reality, to never squander that by his sinfulness or any weakness. And if there was sin, to immediately push that sin away. It is in this manner, day in and day out, that he was able to achieve the holiness that was immediately apparent to those who came into his presence. And of course, in the life of the church was immediately present as he was declared a saint, almost, it seems, immediately after his death and passage from this life to the next. But because he is our patron, he's not only someone to whom we look as an ideal, but rather someone that we seek to actually follow. And so in a practical order, as we celebrate our great patron today, what is required of us is to live our lives accordingly with that same convictedness, beginning and ending with God himself. Understanding the dignity that was bestowed upon you in your baptism and how easily you squander that when you are guilty of sin. And if you truly understand what it is that has been bestowed upon you in baptism, you would not be so inclined to give yourself so easily over to sinful behaviors and sinful realities. But more importantly than just eschewing sin, it is this embracing of the love of God above all things, that motivated St. Louis, that should likewise motivate each of us. Not just fear and trepidation of the reality of condemnation, but more importantly, the love of God, which is significant and above all things. And then in this way, brothers and sisters, we can emulate this great patron of ours by what we do, whatever it is that we do, whether it is in our charity to the poor, in our steadfastness in the midst of adversity, whether it is our fearless defense of Holy Mother Church and the gift of our Catholic faith, whether it is in the quiet ways that we go about being good, holy Catholic men and women. Things that may be known, things mostly that are unknown, but certainly God, who sees and knows everything, will reward us accordingly. And he rewards us not just because we are perfect, because more often than not, we are not perfect. He rewards us for fidelity, perseverance, steadfastness, constancy, day in and day out. Most especially in the midst of difficulty, conflict, temptation, and strife. And so we are here gathered to celebrate, to call to mind, to first give thanks to God for the manifestation of grace in the life of St. Louis, King of France, but then also to be mindful of that same grace bestowed upon each of us. Yes, in our baptisms, grace poured out upon grace as we go throughout our daily lives, grace given most especially in this Eucharistic sacrifice. And then, through that same grace, seeking St. Louis's intercession, we pledge, like him, to give ourselves completely into the hands of God, to joyfully, willingly submit ourselves to his divine providence, to do all that he commands and asks of us with great joy and confidence, and in him alone, and in so doing, prepare now, by his grace, to live with him for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.